On the screen, there's going to be a verse of scripture. It's a question. Okay, folks, who do you say that I am, that Jesus is? Who do you say he is? How do you answer that this morning? Who would like to shout it out, share? Who do you say?
My God, my Father.
He is the Christ.
He is the Christ, your Christ, the Anointed One. Your Defender. Your Saviour. Son of the Living God. That was Peter's reply, wasn't it? Yeah.
Prince of Peace.
He is the Prince of Peace. Your Prince of Peace? He is your wonderful Counselor.
Mighty God.
Your Mighty God. Ah. Who do you say that I am? Because Jesus is asking that question this morning. Who do you say that I am? Who do you really, really say that I am? Because many, many people today get their, if you like, their clues on who Jesus is and the life of Jesus from the movies, the films, from culture. But it's really their own imagination. We get to know who Jesus is through his word. Hallelujah. Through his word. And as the Holy Spirit leads us into his truth. Hallelujah. Who do you say that I am? It is the ultimate question, isn't it? It is the ultimate question. And I hope, I pray that each one of us are able to say, you're my Saviour. But not just Saviour, my Lord. Several of our songs this morning have just reflected that theme, that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of creation. He's Lord of the universe. But he doesn't impose himself on you or me as Lord. We willingly yield to his lordship. We willingly do say, okay, Lord, I've done it my way. I really am submitting my plans, my future to you, and trusting you to reveal your will for me. We're in partnership. Hallelujah. Without doubt, Jesus has been one of the most, or the most controversial figure in all history. Jesus of Nazareth certainly has been controversial. But your answer to this question, who do you say I am, determines your destiny now and throughout eternity. Who do you say that I am? Turn with me to the Bible, in your Bible, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. For many of us, this is a familiar chapter. But as we read this chapter, what I would like you to do, because who do you say that I am? If you're saying, if I'm saying this morning, yes, Lord, you are my Saviour, but you're my Lord, it means that you're obedient to his word. It's, doesn't it? It must be that if, you know, if you love me, if you say you love me, do as I say. As we read this chapter, sort of make a mental note of the times when there's a promise, there's a command, there's almost a contract, and what our answer, what our response is. Because several times Jesus says, I will do this for you if you do that. Now, of course, and if you've read my booklet on divine healing, you will know that there has been, as it were, covenants made with God which are not conditional upon what man's response. That's it. God has said this will happen, and it's happened. But many of his contracts, if you like, or his covenants, demand a response from us. God won't break it, but we can. As we read this chapter, let's let the Holy Spirit just come and speak to us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. This is the word of the Lord. So we go to the word of God. You know, the word says in Isaiah, the grass fades, the flowers wither or whatever, but God's word stands forever. God's word remains forever. Amen. And of course we get Jesus and his attributes and what he wants for us and from us in the word of God. And there are, as I said, some conditional statements in the word of God. And we've just read one or two. What does it say in verse 7? Verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. If you abide in Christ, if you abide in the vine, if you remain in him, what you ask for, what you desire, it will be given you. So if you are truly abiding in Christ and saying, you are my Lord and I am wanting to follow you and do your bidding. I want to serve you. I want to love you, Lord. I want to be fruitful. I want to glorify your name. When the word says, I will give you your request, I will give you your desires, if we're truly abiding in Christ, it won't be asking to what we want to consume upon ourselves, to fulfill our own pleasure, our own lust. Jesus says, you know, if you seek me, if you seek the kingdom of heaven, then all these things will be added on to you. He longs to bless his people. He does long to prosper his people. But if we're saying, ah, Lord, your word says that if I, you know, if I ask you for the top of the range Mercedes so that I can be a show off and that. No, he won't give it to us. That's not part of his heart because he's not going to glorify his name. And the question is, am I really abiding in him? To want to consider, you know, the Lord may give you, you may work hard and be blessed with the top of the range Mercedes. But this isn't what this is about. He says, look, if you want to see my name glorified in your family, if you abide in me, you're going to see my blessing, my salvation come to your house. If you're faithful in following me, 2 weeks ago, some of you, many of you, you gave a commitment to the Lord. You said, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, I know that since then, some of you have been tested by that. Some of you have been, I'm not surprised. We've just read in here that, look, just as Christ was opposed and persecuted, if you're a follower, so will you be. But I'm going to abide in him, and I'm going to resist the evil one. I'm going to let his love, his spirit, so overflow and impact me that I'm going to resist everything that comes against me and believe salvation will come to my home. Salvation will come to my family. I believe that when I ask him to fill me with his spirit, he will fill me with his spirit. I believe that what I lack, what is of the old nature, the works of the flesh, if I humble myself before him and ask him, oh God, I want to just live the fruit of the Holy Spirit, he will do it. His glory will be reflected in you. Why do I know this? Because his word says it. He says, look, don't think for one moment that you've made a decision for me. I so loved you from eternity past. My hand is upon you. I have saved you because I want you to glorify my name. I want you to spend now and eternity with me. That is why I've given you my life. That's how much he wants us drawn to himself. He says, if you abide in Christ and if his words abide in you, then you may ask whatever you wish. The Lord requires obedience, doesn't he? Our Lord, if he truly is Lord, he requires obedience from us. Okay, abide in him and you'll bear fruit. What does sacrificial service require? What does a sacrificial service require? Dedication?
Self-giving.
Yeah. Sacrifice.
Going without.
Because the thing is, what, you know, sometimes we think, I can't give up. You know, it's like the gift day, what the Lord has laid on our hearts to do. And we might be thinking, ah, well, I can afford this much. But what is God saying? What is not our attitude be, Lord, what do you want me to give? It's not normal. It's obedience. Is stepping out in faith, saying, Lord, I'm not in control of my destiny. I'm not in control of my finances, but you are. I trust you, Lord. That's faith. We can have faith in all sorts of things. But God says, I want you to have faith in me. I want you to trust my word. I want you to believe that I will bring to pass what I have said I will do so. Confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and seeking to abide in him
means that we're no longer free to live any way that we please, to do our own thing. And friends, if we do refuse him as Lord now, we will not be able to claim him as Saviour then. That's very clear in the Word. If you're refusing Jesus to be Lord of your life, you won't be able to claim him as Saviour then. But he's willing us to surrender to him and to follow him. Who do you say that I am? Faith is trusting in him. We may not see the way ahead very clearly, but faith is walking without sight at times, but it's saying, I trust you implicitly, Lord. I am trusting you that what is impossible to me, you will accomplish for your good pleasure. There's so many passages, isn't there, in the Word of God on works and deeds, etc. See, God has a plan. His plan is eternal. He has a plan for his kingdom. He has a plan for the king. He has a plan for you, and he wants you and me to be part of his kingdom and part of the kingship and lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus says is important. His words are vital. What does it say in verse 14? You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Hey! See, it's conditional. You want to be a friend of the Lord? Do as I say. Oh, well, that's legalism, isn't it? No, it's not. Hey, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He rebuked their hard hearts. Jesus, who said, take my yoke upon you. It is light, it is easy. But the Pharisees said, hey, you can't do that. It's the Sabbath day. Even if it meant healing the sick, Jesus rebuked that hardness of heart. Jesus, when we obey him and submit to him, he gives us liberty. He gives us the freedom. Hallelujah. He takes away the perverse and distorted views of Jesus and what is expected. He says, take my yoke upon you. It is easy. It's following Jesus. This isn't legalism. You are my abiding friends if you continue to do what I command you, to obey all my loving and gracious rules. Hallelujah. So Jesus is asking us this morning questions. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Jesus asks us questions to draw us out, to stretch us, to get us to think, to get us to pray. And our response this morning, or lack of response, shows us exactly where we are, how much we've learned, and how much we still don't know. But our Lord is so full of compassion and mercy, he's saying, look, I have a plan, I've got a purpose for you. You may not be able to see it right now, but as you humble yourself before me and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. The plans I've made, Lord, if they've been just my plans, I lay them at the altar. I want the blessing of the Lord on my life. I want the blessing of the Lord on my finances. I want the blessing of the Lord on my health. I want the blessing of the Lord when I'm opposed and maligned for his name's sake. I want to know his presence. I want to be fruitful. I want to abide in him. Remain in him. Jesus said that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. What, of course, the devil does is cause us to fear man and to have a wrong outlook. The devil, the evil one, our opposer, seeks to whom he can destroy. He's going around like a roaring lion.
whom he can devour. And he'll create fear, he'll create tension. But Jesus says, look to me. Look to me. I want to be your friend. If you abide in my word, I'll be your friend. I'm going to do for you, I'm going to do for your family, I'm going to do for your finances, I'm going to do for your health, I'm going to do for your neighbours what is impossible with man. But as you abide in me, I'm going to give you what you desire, what you ask. Those situations that you've given up on, that I've given up on, he said, hey, I want you to come back and put your trust in me. Friends, as I conclude, religion has a way of taking something that is intended to be a blessing and turning it into a legalistic burden. And as I've mentioned, the Pharisees were masters at this. And the Bible clearly says that Jesus was grieved. He was angry at the hardness of their hearts. Just imagine, they thought it was wrong to do good on the Sabbath. It didn't fit in with their mindset. But Jesus has showed us that God's commandments are not meant to restrict us. They are designed to liberate us, to free us from being slaves to our own twisted ideas. We heard yesterday, we heard last night about if we're the people of God, if we've been washed and cleansed from our sins, if we're now followers of the Lamb, if we've asked the Holy Spirit to fill us, we have a different mindset to the world. We have separated ourselves from the world. The way we think, the way we act now is motivated by a desire to please Christ. We've come out of Babylon. We've come out of the love of the world system. We're now separate to the Lord. Hallelujah. This isn't restrictive, it's freedom. I want to bear much fruit. I want this fellowship to bear much fruit. Don't you want to see this community turned upside down, the right way up for Jesus? Will you follow him? Be obedient to him? Any imaginations of who Jesus is which are not centered in the word, which are fanciful, which are effeminate, renounce them. Hallelujah. These are critical days. They're critical days for us as a fellowship, because are we going to choose the way of the Lord or are we going to do our own thing? I say I'm going to serve the Lord. I say I'm going to serve the Lord. The conditional promises of the Lord say, well, if you seek me, I'm going to find you. Hallelujah. If you ask of me, I'm going to give you. But if you don't keep my words, then I might disown you. Let us please the Lord in all respects and walk in a manner worthy of our calling. May we increase in our knowledge of God. May we bear fruit in every good work. Who says amen to that? You want to bear fruit in every good work. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Jesus is wonderful. You see, his commands are not burdensome. But there's too many Christians doing their own thing. There's too many Christians who have got wrapped up in the here and now. They're not seeing the Lord. They're not seeing what potential the Holy Spirit has invested in them. Rather, they're consumed with worry, making money, rather than on eternal things. We were reminded last night of the trite saying that we can be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. It's rubbish. We want to be heavenly minded, then we'll be earthly good. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus.
God has shown his favor in this congregation this morning. Despite our sin, despite our apathy, despite our sometimes lukewarmness, God has said, I haven't forgotten you. He has brought salvation to this house. Are we going to be obedient to him and offer our lives to him? He is beautiful. He's so gracious. He wants the best for his people. He wants us to shine as stars. He wants us to be faithful and not faithless. Hallelujah. His Spirit is at work in us even now. Are we going to say, yes, Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He responds to faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you say, yes, Lord, you're going to be opposed. It might be even from a loved one, a close one. But hey, Christ is your friend and your protector. And let those whom we have to deal with in the world, in our families, in our communities, let them see the glory of Jesus. Sometimes we don't have to say anything. We just reflect the love, the life of Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. Hallelujah. Jesus says, ask whatever you will. And Jesus is saying, you can do all things through him that loves you.